I'll be taking this over for the next few months because Mr. FSP is indisposed. He is doing his obligation for the next few months like he did earlier in the spring. And you'll be listening to my voice for 4 days and nights. If you're not familiar with the FSP show or any of the other shows that I'm on, let's run it down so you know a little bit about me if this is the first time you've been listening. First of all, let me say this. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. Now, like I said, there is several shows that I'm on, okay? And let's start it off on Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is the spinoff of this show, which is the FSP Cruise Show. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is where I host that show, and I have two really good co-hosts, Jeff the Joker. He's a fellow Jersey guy like myself, and Michael Black Wright from Washington, D.C. area. He's my other second co-host, and we hold it down on Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Thursday. We talk about fantasy, we talk about sports, and we got into a little political stuff intermingled with sports this past Thursday, and that's what we do. So that's the Cruise Show, FSP Cruise Show. And I'm a host of that show, along with my two co-hosts, like I previously mentioned. On Friday, the show has been about in existence for about a year now. I got another guy from the DMV area, the D.C. area, I should say, and his name is Mac Williams, and he's on the right side of the aisle versus me on the left side, and we go at it, and the straight talk, the name of the show is No Chaser, it's Mac's show, I am the co-host, he is the host of the show, and we do have some good guests on occasion, and we have very good conversation, controversial at times, I guarantee it. All the numbers, all the times of these shows are posted on our website, and all the same number is what you call into 347-637-3220. So whether it's Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Friday, you can call the same number and talk to the FSP Cruise Show or talk to the No Chaser show. Like I said, Mac Williams is the host. I am the co-host. And then we roll in to Saturday. 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is where you're at right now. And I usually co-host, and like I say, Vic's away. He's going to be away for an extended period of time. So I will be taking this over, and you will be hearing me, unfortunately or fortunately, whatever it may be, for the next few months until he comes back. I think he comes back sometime in October. I'm not exactly sure of the date. I will be in touch with him, but when I do find out the date, I guarantee you on this show you will be the first to know. If you were waiting for him to come back or when he's going to be coming back, because you may not like, you know, I may not be liked. I don't know. I've always put my email address out there. If you always want to correspond with me, it's MagicMan1954 on Twitter. It's Jerry Taylor on Facebook. And it's my email address. If you ever want to email me for any reason, question, I'm looking, always looking to score, correspond to my listening audience. It's jtaylor342@comcast.net. jtaylor342@comcast.net. I'm not afraid to put my email address out there and get correspondence with my listening audience. It is what it is. All right. Let's get this show rolling. As I promised on Thursday and last week, that I would be talking about fantasy football today and tomorrow, because I was supposed to talk about fantasy football. You know what? Before I go there, the mistake I made is this. I told you about Thursday, Friday, and Saturday show. Well, I have a show all by myself that is probably going to help. I hope it's going to help a few people win their fantasy leagues, because this is my time of year. I'm banging the table, I'm banging my desk. This is my time of year. Football season is in effect. The regular season and fantasy season is a few weeks away. I mean, it's very close. The first game of the preseason is tomorrow. Hall of Fame candidates are today. I'm not going to be talking about them today because I want to get as much information as I can possibly get in. But the Hall of Fame presentation takes place tonight, and the game takes place tomorrow. The start of football season, like I said, fantasy season, right around the corner. Well, I have a show. For those of you who don't know my show, it's been promoted time and time again. I've been on it for a few years now. It's called The Master Plan. I am the host, Jerry Taylor. I am the host. I am a.k.a. The Master. Because on that show, I give you information about fantasy football. Some of it's good, some of it, as anybody, can be bad, or I missed the boat on it. But I give you information out there that some people, so-called experts, and I keep on saying that because the fact is I'm not an expert, but the so-called experts, for the most part, I've given, I think I can give you a leg up on just before the so-called experts catch on to certain players. I push them out there, okay? Let me put it this way. There's two players, and I know these guys have been in the league for a while, but there's two players that I'm going to hang my hat on. But before these guys were absolutely well-known, and when they more or less, in quotation marks, broke out, I mentioned him on a couple of shows, not The Master Plan, because The Master Plan wasn't in existence at the time. But the shows I mentioned him on, and it was on the FSP Crew show or the FSP show, I can't remember which one it was on, but I do remember I mentioned him before anybody else mentioned these guys. I mentioned him. And I'm not tooting my own horn, but I'm stating a fact here, and I just wanted to get it out. Jamaal Charles, I let people know about Jamaal Charles before he was even well known. He was a blip on the screen. No one gave him a shot. I looked at this guy, saw the potential in this guy, and I said he's going to be a star. And right now, He's right there. He's right there. And probably he's one of them. And the biggest one, and I'm telling you, if you go back in the archives and you listen to what I'm saying, the running back on the Houston Texans, Arian Foster, I brought him to light on this on one of the shows. I think it was the FSP Crew show when it was not on Saturday. It was on during the week. And I was ostracized along with Jamal Charles by my fellow co-host at the time until they exploded on the scene. So I'm always looking for gems. I think I can help a lot of people, or I'm planning to helping a lot of people win their fantasy leagues with my research and my evaluation of talent. Hopefully it's on the mark. I can't hit on everyone, but hopefully I have a good season and I can give you some good knowledge of fantasy players that are off the radar, and you can pick them up and you can use them for your fantasy teams and help get you into the playoffs, which in turn hopefully helps you win that coveted championship in your league. I got a caller in here. Let's bring this caller in and see what he's got to say. Hello there, Mikal. How you doing, my friend? What's up?
What's going on, sir?
Not much. Not much.
About?
Well, this is fantasy that I'm gonna be talking about for the next couple of days. But the I just wrapped up one of the things I wanted to say, and the other thing I wanted to say is that before I got into the fantasy thing, it's on a baseball note. As everyone knows, it's been going on for weeks now. The suspensions and possible, I wouldn't say fines, but suspensions of players, either the players that are going to take suspensions or the players that are going to be suspended and appeal, should take effect, I think, possibly on Monday. I think the deadline for whether the players accept or reject any of the suspensions from baseball is, I think, 6 o'clock tomorrow night or tomorrow evening. After that, I think all bets are off, and I guess Major League Baseball will announce the suspensions. And the poster child of that is Alex Rodriguez, who happened to hit a 2-run homer playing for the Trenton Thunder last night. I don't know if it's going to be his last home run of his baseball career, because they're threatening to ban him for life if he doesn't succumb to their demands on him accepting the suspension that they're going to hand down. It is what it is. I'm not going to rant on it too long. I just want to get your thoughts on what Major League Baseball is doing up to this point.
when a sports entity like baseball, football, or basketball conducts itself as the mafia,
mm-hmm.
we all got a problem.
Yep.
You know, we all got
yep.
a problem.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
You got
right.
You got witness tampering, witness intimidation.
Mm-hmm.
What they used to call them, the hearings, the McCarthy hearings. You got
right.
hearings.
Mm-hmm.
You got everything.
You got everything, man. I mean, this is, you know, I'm not saying whether he's right or wrong, but I'm talking about Alex Rodriguez. But to put a person through this, like, I mean, he's never been tested. He's never tested, and he's never failed a test. He's never failed a test. And there's a lot of people jumping on a bandwagon saying this guy
Who?
Should be. should be absolutely thrown out. He's no good. He's a piece of garbage and all kinds of language because supposedly Major League Baseball's got all this information on him about witness tampering, about trying to impede the investigation and recruit other players to this place, and besides him taking PED, so and lying to Major League Baseball all about it. So all those things they're trying to wrap up into more than one offense, which would be justification to ban him for life or at least give him a two-year suspension, which is absolutely crazy when he's never failed a drug test. So all those things, all those offenses, because there are multiple offenses, they're saying that each one is a suspendable offense, and because they all mount up to, I guess, three strikes and you're out, they have the justification, they say, to be able to ban him for life. Is that crazy or what? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, it's real crazy, especially when you look at it as the whole thing, you know, like you and I, if you look at the whole thing, and then you start questioning Major League Baseball, and then you also question these other sports, and you'd be like, okay, which drugs are which, and
mm-hmm.
which ones are, you know, illegal, and which ones are good, you know,
mm-hmm.
We talked about before, that's real murky. So now, okay, so you guys dictate when, what's suitable and what's not. Okay, what if you don't have it on there? Does that mean it's a banned substance? So if I just happen to get with these chemists and these doctors, you know, because they trying to make money too, you know what I'm saying? And they
right.
make that stuff that's not on the list and it's not illegal and it's not a banned substance, all of a sudden I start getting faster and stronger, and then you like, hold up, wait a minute, what's going on here? You know what I mean?
So this
thing is murky, man. The whole thing is murky.
Yep.
Alex
yep.
Rodriguez is murky and dirty, but, you know, I'm not going to sit here and throw stones at him, because Major League Baseball is just as dirty, man. Just
yep.
as dirty.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I have to put this. I mean, I'm not a Yankee fan, but I got to put some of this on the Yankees too, because the fact is, he's owed close to $100 million, and they more or less don't want him on the team anymore, and trying to find ways. And right now, they're collecting money from his $28 million salary for this year from his insurance because, like I said last week, he hadn't started playing as of the, August 1st. They start collecting from that insurance policy they have. So even though they say in the public eye, we welcome Alex when he gets a chance to come back when he's healthy. We want him back to play on our team. Behind closed doors, they don't want anything to do with him. They want to keep him away as much as possible, and I think this was just another way in the last week to just put off him getting on the field so they can get their insurance money, which was a few days ago, and give more time to Major League Baseball to do their dirty work and keep him off the field. Because right now, he's healthy. Right now,
right.
He agreed to do this rehab and his minor league stint for the next 5 to 7 days, and he's completed it. So if there's a way for him to play, he's going to show up on Monday on the Yankees, and they have no recourse but to have him play or at least accept him onto the roster. I mean, there's nothing to say that they have to put him on the field, but if you're paying somebody that much amount of money, you better get some kind of return on it versus just putting him on the bench and have him frustrated. So,
right.
So, anyway, I just wanted to get that out there. I'm pretty sure people who follow the sports, especially baseball, are well aware of what's supposed to take place, especially guys in fantasy, because some of these guys, a lot of these guys, that are going to get suspended, except Alex Rodriguez, are on fantasy teams right now and doing a few things. I mean, some of these guys are substantial guys that play well on fantasy, and they're going to have to accept the suspension unless depending on who it is going to fight, and then they have an appeal process, and they'll be subject to a bigger suspension next year. So that hammer, that huge hammer, that or anvil, or whatever you want to put, that Major League Baseball has over the heads of these bait players, either accept this or you go through the appeals process, and if you lose the appeals process, there's a chance that we're going to ban you for maybe double the amount of games that we originally had in a plea deal, so to speak. A lot of these players, just like Ryan Braun, are going to take a plea deal and accept a suspension for the rest of this year so they can come back clean next year. Not Alex Rodriguez, and I'm pulling for my man. I'm pulling for him. You know, he's never failed a drug test. He's never failed a drug test. I don't care what they say. I don't care. He's never failed a drug test. So right now, depending on what it is, it's insane that this is – check this out. I hate to shoot it, but every time I think about this, I get upset. One offense, this is how they list the offenses, because he's never failed a drug test. So if he approached somebody – about or inquired about or thought about somebody or made a phone call on collecting or trying to get some PEDs, that's one offense. Okay?
Uh-huh.
If he bought it, that's the second offense. And then quite naturally, if he used it, that's the third offense. So even if you think about it, even if you buy it, okay? Those are two separate offenses. So that means to say, if you putting that type of standard on Alex Rodriguez, you got to put it on all players that do that, on everyone that do that.
Wow.
That opens up a huge precedent. So
it's the cart before the horse type of thing. Because, like, everybody knows that, you know, there are athletes who take all kind of supplements. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to take whatever you got to take at that edge or whatever. You know, you read which substances are illegal or not, but
mm-hmm.
take which one's illegal today and which ones are illegal tomorrow. Because you
right.
don't know. That's
right.
The whole part about it. But the all these media machines that's working for the NBA and the MLB and the NFL, they
mm-hmm.
sure fool, especially
mm-hmm.
with baseball. I mean, I just hear some of the stuff how they be just going at these athletes, and I'm looking at them and I'm like, well, if you can give me a pill, you know what I'm saying, and I can make me $100 million, show me the pill, Slim.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Show me the
mm-hmm.
deal. I'm gonna take it.
Yeah.
I was supposed to say, well, what about your ethics and what? Man, there's people selling out for $30,000, man. Get out of here. Out of here.
Get out of here. All right. I had to get that out. So it is what it is. And I also talked about the Hall of Fame inductees that are supposed to take place later on today. I think it starts 7, 8 o'clock at night. And then football officially gets going with the Hall of Fame game, which is on tomorrow. I can't believe I don't know the participants. I know Dallas Cowboys is one of them. I'm trying to think who the other team is.
Is it Tampa?
Is it Tampa Bay? Is it? Let me see.
Let me
Google this real quick and find out the. I'll do it this way. Let me go this way. I'll do this and find out what's going on here. I'm trying to figure out who the heck is the this. And let me see the schedule here. Let me see who the Hall of Fame game is. Hall of Fame game is preseason. Do this. Would be the Dallas. Oh, okay. Miami Dolphins at the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, that should be we'll see what happens there. Miami's been overhyped this year. And then always controversial team called the Dallas Cowboys. So this should be interesting to see how these guys first come out in the first preseason game. Anyway, I want to talk about football. I want to talk about fantasy football. I said last week, because of the rant I had on Sunday, I was not able to, with the time constraint I had, to go into fantasy football, starting off with my first skill position. And that's the quarterback position, okay? I want to start off with that. I happen to be wearing right now the quarterback of my that I'm a fan of, Matt Schaub. So with that being said, I want to talk about the quarterback position in the fantasy football world. And let's start with to give you my top 25, okay, starting with 25. Unfortunately, and she happened to walk in the room at the same time I'm talking about quarterbacks, because the quarterback I got listed at number 25 happens to be coming from the Bay Area, because the player off the bench came off the bench and showed out and pushed his team to the Super Bowl. And he was no longer wanted in San Francisco, but was wanted by a coach that got ousted in Philly and was looking for a quarterback and grabbed Alex Smith. So he is my number 25 ranked quarterback in fantasy football. He played the most efficient football of his career before a Week 10 concussion. He managed the 49ers to a 6-2 record to open the season, and he was on pace for career highs in completion rate to interception ratio and yards per pass attempt. And like I said, Colin Kaepernick jumped in, and Alex Smith, after the last season, 2012 season, was no longer wanted or needed by the San Francisco 49ers. So they shipped him to Andy Reid's Chiefs in the 2013 for a second-round pick and a conditional 2014 third-rounder, okay? Andy Reid, as everyone knows, is a coach that is in a pass-happy mind and will be throwing the ball a lot in his West Coast offense. Now, he's got a bona fide number one wide receiver in Dwayne Bowe. He's got, luckily, they retained Brandon Albert, who's a very good left tackle. They drafted because they had the number one draft pick, Eric Fisher. So they have a bona fide left tackle in Brandon Albert and a potential bona fide and maybe all pro number one pick on the right side for a right tackle, Eric Fisher. He's got a hell of a supporting cast, okay, because he's got one of my favorite players in the backfield with him, and that would be Jamaal Charles. Talent-wise, Alex Smith is a limited player. I don't know how well he's going to do in this West Coast offense. It depends on how well Andy Reid continues the progression of Alex Smith, because, this, like I said, this is a pass-happy offense, and Alex Smith, up until the last few years before Harbaugh got a hold of him, was not a very accurate and consistent quarterback. That's why, in my opinion, Alex Smith is at number 25 on the hit list of the quarterbacks, and probably a a low bye week feeling, in my opinion. Macau, give me your opinion about Mr. Alex Smith in Kansas City.
I think Alex Smith is going to do fine. I think he's going to do well. I mean, because Andy Reid is a with all the bad blood with him, I still regard him as a very good quarterback coach. So I think he's going to do well. Fantasy, I think he's going to be a sleeper pick if he's one of those type of GMs to grab a whole bunch of running backs first. You know, you can wait till probably about the sixth or seventh round, maybe even the fifth, before you even grab him. You know, and he's one you want to grab. You know, and not feel bad. So if you've loaded up on a whole bunch of running backs and you're scrambling for a quarterback at the last minute or whatever, you want to pick him up. And I got a strange feeling that he'll be around for those fantasy picks. And like I said, he's going to be surprisingly good this year.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think
okay.
So.
Well, we'll wait and see how Andy Reid manages the Alex Smith in his offense. I mean, he's got some weapons. Let me put it that way. He does have some weapons in the passing game, and he's got a dynamite running back to hand the ball off to in Jamal Charles. So we'll see what happens. If he's a game manager or a playmaker, let me put it that way. But I think he's number 25 on my hit list. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, this hurts me to my heart. I mean, it literally hurts to me to my heart. Because the number 24, once a quiet, productive, borderline quarterback won, he continued to get worse. He continued to devolve into a puzzle piece in Houston's sadly run-based offense. He's not really on the fantasy radar anymore. He showed a noticeable signs of decline down the stretch last season. And I hate to say it, he only completed 147 of 220 passes for 1,500 yards, which equates to about a little more than 7 yards per attempt. And his touchdown to interception ratio was 3-5, which is not good at all. Over the final six games, and usually, if you notice on a quarterback that's either lacking confidence or is not that good, he's usually a check down machine, regularly throwing short of the sticks on third down. If Schaub and the Texas window has closed for good. This quarterback, he played like he was shell-shocked. And I hate to say it, he played like he was shell-shocked. He was hesitant in every game after Week 14's loss to New England. Now, what's changed is this. He's lost one of his wide receivers, his number two wide receiver, which was on the other side of Andre Johnson. Okay, he lost Kevin Walter. But in the process, Houston had picked up supposedly a Roddy White type of clone in DeAndre Hopkins. We're hoping that DeAndre Hopkins can be the Julio Jones to Andre Johnson. What Julio Jones is to Roddy White, DeAndre Hopkins can be to Andre Johnson. Hopefully, this guy is big and strong, and I think he'll be an asset once he acclimates himself to the offense. The thing that's a problem with me, the things look like they're improved around Schaub on paper, but in my opinion, he's a glorified manager on a run first team, which is fine. Because there's a lot of teams that are run first, but you need a quarterback that can do his thing when his team needs him. And if he plays anything like he did down the stretch last year, fans, and including myself, may be calling for the backup, T.J. Yates, to jump in there. So, in my opinion, only fantasy players who haven't been playing close attention would seriously consider the job. He's definitely not in the quarterback mix for quarterback one. And as a quarterback two, you could probably get him quite a bit down in the draft. So, in my opinion, if you don't have better options, if you can't get someone as your second quarterback, this is not your main quarterback. This is as a second quarterback better than Matt Schaub. I would avoid him. Otherwise, if you at last resort, you can grab him. Mikal, my quarterback, unfortunately, I got him number 24 on this hit list.
Matt Schaub.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit higher on Matt Schaub than you are. Not that much.
Well, you feeling optimistic today, man. You are giving a lot of good grades out to people today. Go right ahead.
I mean, just knowing Matt Schaub's track record and Kubiak down there and what they've been able to do, and you know, the gentleman that you know they're throwing to is Andre Johnson. I mean, those things to me just add up. He's a respectable quarterback. He doesn't have to prove it to me anymore. You know, I know what I'm getting when I'm getting Schaub. I don't know. I wouldn't say he's in the elite status, but he's definitely in the upper echelon status.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I look at him that way. I mean, because he's been consistent. And it's not like the Texans have been no slouch team on passing for like the past 3 or 4 years. Even though probably out the last four, he's only been the starting quarterback out of the past 4 years, he's been the starting quarterback three of them. You know, and he got hurt that one. But, you know, he came back. He still was decent or whatever. The window, I think the window is closing a little bit on him.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a make or break year. Did they give him a new contract?
No. Nope.
Yeah. So they only did like a 1 year thing with him.
I think he's going into a, if I'm not mistaken, he's going into a contract year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, okay, so, yeah, this is it. Contract year, yeah, he's going to play his ass off this year. He's going to play his ass off. I kind of do agree with you. I don't look at him as a number one. I would definitely, have him as a number two as well, him and Smith. Because you just don't know what's going to happen. But there's a lot of potential there. You know what I mean? Everything around him is pretty good. You know what I mean? Schaub has been pretty good, and he's been consistent. And everything around Smith is pretty good. You know, he's got Andy Reid, the quarterback coach. He's got some receivers. You know, so that offense should be fairly decent. And even if he just manages the game, he'll be fine. So, I mean, I'm right in the middle with both of them. I'm right in the middle. I was so optimistic, but I just, just looking around them, they just have a lot of potential around them. And it's not unwarranted potential. You know what I mean? It's not pie in the sky.
Okay. Well, speaking of potential, and toward the bottom of this list, these players can go either way. And if you look at it, the next quarterback, these players have had ups and downs in their careers. And this next player, and he's been knocked for he threw for over 4,000 yards last year. The most since 2007, and he's been knocked for most of his yardage and stats from last year were like garbage time, and that inflated. But the team he was on was a pretty lousy team, so he was put in a situation where he had to put up the ball and throw the ball quite a bit. But Carson Palmer was ranked 18th among fantasy quarterbacks, providing consistent quarterback play last year. Now, quite naturally, the Raiders were desperate to part with Palmer's contract, and they traded him to the Cardinals this past spring for two late-round picks. And I think he gotten into a good situation for his skill set. He's got new Cardinals coach Bruce Arians, who runs a decidedly vertical offense that will play into Palmer's power arm strength. He likes to throw the ball down the field, and Carson Palmer is a pretty accurate passer, throwing down the field to a big-time wide receiver in Larry Fitzgerald, who's been the best receiver Palmer's ever had in his career. The big concern here is if the Arizona offensive line can hold up. They may decide changes in that line to shore it up, because Carson Palmer, like everyone knows if they watch football, is not a mobile quarterback. He's your prototypical quarterback that stands in the backfield and distributes the ball from there. He's not a mobile quarterback at all. But Bruce Arians had success with the Indianapolis team last year that, for most part, lacked talent. And Andrew Luck was far more athletic and efficient out of the pocket than what they had in Arizona last year. The only problem I have is Carson Palmer lasting all 16 games behind an offensive line that's rebuilt and with a new coach. And with Arian being a pass-friendly type of offense, and he's got the receiver talent that could allow him to flirt with quarterback one value when he faces bad defenses, though. That's just it. But he's in a conference that has a lot of defensive dominant teams. We're talking about the Rams. We're talking about the Seahawks. We're talking about the 49ers. And now he's got to go up against all three of those defenses twice for each one of them. That's six games that he has to go up against those type of defenses. So that's why I'm saying Carson Palmer, in my opinion, is a quarterback too. He's going to improve the chances for Larry Fitzgerald to have a better year than he had last year. But he's still my 23rd ranked quarterback in this list. Talk to me, my man.
And you got Carson Palmer right ahead of Sharp, man.
Yep.
Oh, God, no. No.
Okay.
Man.
Hey.
I would pass on Carson Palmer so fast. I mean,
really?
Yeah, man. We would be in round 151 before I would even set them. I like Bruce Arians, and you know, and I so desperately want, quarterback for Larry Fitzgerald, because that deserve it. But this dude is a year or two too late for Larry, and this is just a mess. Man, I don't like this. I don't like him. Strong reservations about his ability to stay healthy the whole season. And it's strange because he's right around. He's not too far from the two guys that I mentioned before, but I just wouldn't pull the trigger on that dude, man. I just couldn't do it. I just really couldn't do it.
Okay. All right, well, I don't know how you feel about this next guy that I have rated number 22, but he was coached by one of the worst coaches I ever think that ever was given the job as a head coach. One of my all-time favorite coaches that I despise as a head coach. But it seemed like his arm strength had faded, making him highly interception prone. His throws used to float through the air, giving like defensive backs great jumps on balls. His like I said, his arm strength didn't rebound at all, and his pocket presence eroded due to a lot of hits because he was holding the ball trying to get it down the field because of his offensive minded coach liked to throw the ball deep down the field, and his offensive line was abominable. And he played like a ghost of himself. So I'm talking about the number 21st ranked quarterback, which was the worst since 2005 in his career. Talking about Philip Rivers. He's not the player he once was. North Turner got fired. I can't stand North Turner. I think he's one of the worst head coaches of all time. He's a heck of an offensive coordinator, but to put him on as a head coach, when he's had several jobs, including with your Washington Redskins. He in Dallas Cowboys, and he was he with the Oakland Raiders? I think he had the Oakland Raiders at one point.
Yeah, he was with Oakland.
Got the San Diego Chargers. And I'm just naming five teams that didn't get it. That I've been saying it for years, that this guy was the worst coach, head coach, in football. One of the worst coaches in football as a head coach. And he kept on getting jobs over and over and over again because his offensive prowess and working with quarterbacks as an offensive coordinator. That's the key. As an offensive coordinator, he was great. As a head coach, he sucked. He was horrible, and I can't stand him. I despise the man. I usually don't despise people, but this guy, he just grates under my skin. I can't stand this guy. He's so stupid as a head coach. But it's not like I'm hating on this guy. It's been proven time and time and again for all these stops he made on all these various teams, and all the dumb things that they've seen him do. In different situations with all these teams, it's obvious. It's not something I'm just making up. It's not a hate fest. This guy is stupid as a head coach. So now they got rid of him, and Mike McCoy comes in there. He's still an offensive mind, all right. But and Ken Whisenhunt, God help us. Ken Whisenhunt is a new offensive coordinator. Ken Whisenhunt, I have reservations about. Especially when he was with the Cardinals. He left the Cardinals. Now he's with the San Diego Chargers, but he's not a head coach. He's an offensive coordinator. So hopefully between Mike McCoy and Ken Whisenhunt, they'll try to salvage what they can from Philip Rivers. The offensive line, like I mentioned before, was one of the worst in the league. But the receiving corps is not bad. It's got Denarius Alexander, Antonio Gates, Vincent Brown, Keenan Allen, and Malcolm Floyd, but it won't matter much if Rivers is turning the ball over and over and still ain't getting dumped by a lot of pass rushers. Now, they did employ what they're going to employ in San Diego is a shorter passing game, more of like I guess a West Coast type of offense, dump the ball over, let your playmakers make the plays. Versus what Norv Turner would like to do, throwing the ball deep downfield, a longer vertical passing game, which got Philip Rivers in trouble because it's that his arm strength has diminished. But I don't have much faith in Chargers' offense this year because their quarterback is on the downside of his career and the offensive line stinks. So it will be a surprise to me that Philip Rivers would be a decent quarterback, too, because he sure is not a quarterback one. So that's why he's rated number 22 in my hit list here. Talk to me, my man.
Wow. I don't know, man. I agree with you on Noah. Even though when he was here, he got a bad deal when he was here. That was a bad deal. Our owner was fresh and new, and you know he was still trying to run football like a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. You know, mm-hmm. just fire people. You know. But you can't do that in the NFL, you know, especially when the coach has a winning record and you fire him. Oh my goodness! But in my owner's defense, those are some horrible games we lost. The last two games before Norv got fired, man, they were just terrible. They were just awful losses. I think we lost to New York like 6-3 or some crazy.
Yep.
Some crazy offense like that. Something stupid. But as far as, you know, I think, you know, that kid is tough. You know, I like the kid. You know, he's tough. He's real tough. And I would like to say that I think he's going to bounce back, but, you know, he hasn't shown. Well, he has and he hasn't. He got like 1 foot in, 1 foot out. You know, he's shown he's got that. He's got the ability to take them there, and you know, playing Hurd and taking them to the AFC Championship, playing Hurd and all that kind of crap. So you know, he definitely is, a football warrior. I don't want to say a warrior. He's a football warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely had the strikes for me there. It's just, I mean. He's gone from out the frying pan into the fire from North to Wizenhunt, and I'm not sold on that dude. I think North was probably a better fit for him, but I don't know about him, man. I don't know. It's kind of high for him. I had a little bit. He's gonna have to show it. He's gonna have to show well. Well, he's not gonna show it. The coaches are gonna have to show it, and whatever they're building around them, they're gonna have to do it. Because what, Gates is getting up there in age.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know what they have in receivers. You know, all the players that Schottenheimer built that team on has dwindled away.
Okay.
That's all I guess.
All right, let's move on to number 21. I don't know if this is going to be a surprise for you or not, but the guy, his final stats may look impressive, okay? But he was crazily inconsistent. He had a lot of peaks and valleys over a six-game stretch from mid-October until late November. He compiled a 16-3 touchdown to interception ratio and had a 286-yard weekly average, which is high-end QB numbers. But the other 10 games, combined his touchdown to interception ratio was 11 touchdowns to 14 with a 234-yard average. He's got a big arm. He's difficult. He's difficult to sack. But his short to intermediate accuracy is among the poorest in football, and he's extremely streaky. He can be a boom or bust passer week in and week out, and that's probably the most frustrating thing for any fantasy football player to have in their quarterback, especially the quarterback, because for most leagues, the quarterback gets the most points from week to week. The team didn't give him an extension at all. He's in his contract year. His head coach has outwardly was critical of him. At one point, refusing to commit to him as the 2013 starter. And I do know the rookie, Mike Glennon, is the listed as the quarterback 2 now. So he's moved up the depth chart from the number 3 quarterback or 4 quarterback, whatever it may be, to the number 2 quarterback. So I'll have to say Mr. Josh Freeman, they drafted a big arm, Mike Glennon, in the 3rd round. And you're in a contract year. You're highly unlikely to lose your job in training camp. But your leash, if you start doing what you've been doing for the last 3 to 4 years, will be short. They got quite a bit of weapons in the backfield with Doug Martin of last year. He's coming back for again. They also acquired last year Vincent Jackson, along with Mike Williams they have. And they have a good, and they have LeGarrette Blount because they want to run the ball quite a bit. You got good guards and Davin Joseph and Carl Nix. They'll both be back from injury. So there's no excuse for not being able to put up big-time statistics. But if you're inconsistent, there could be a possibility on a run-oriented team anyway that a young quarterback like Mike Glennon, even though he's a rookie, there's many a rookie that took over a team and flourished, that Josh Freeman may be sitting on the sidelines if he doesn't have a consistent year. I give Josh Freeman a boom or bust type of grade because of his inconsistent play. And rank him number 21 in my hit list. Talk to me, man.
I really like that kid, man. I really like that kid. I think he is a product of bad. It's a product of bad coaching.
I mean, he's really, man.
Raheem Morris, he is not a good quarterback's coach. And this dick that they got down there now. Oh my God, he's even worse. He is even worse. You know, it's a product of not having a consistent and good, you know, offensive coordinator or offensive scheme in place for this young man.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that because he's got all the tools. He's not a dumb young man. He's got a big arm. You know, he's athletic, but he's not athletic as the new term athletic quarterback. You know, he's not in there with Colin Kaepernick and those guys. But
he's
athletic enough. He can move in that pocket very, very well.
Right.
I just think the product of the coaching. But I'm with you 100%. He is. Yourself is absolutely correct. He is boom or bust. And it is. I don't think it has anything to do with him, man. I hope that he can, you know, pull it together or have you. But I don't have faith in his coach as far as being able to coach him up or whatever. You know,
mm-hmm.
if he was a linebacker, a defensive end, or somebody like that, yeah, he's perfect. That guy's perfect. But he's a dick. No, I don't like him. No,
okay,
man,
you don't like Graciano, huh?
No, man, because because he's the Bama that had his defense, you know, attacking the team when we were down in the fall.
I'm
like, what's going on?
If any time
a brawl on the field needed to be started, that was the time. I mean, we down in the ball. You know, it's you're doing the victory thing. You know what I'm saying? And you're
right.
Playing out of respect. You
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying? You're not trying to run up the score. You know? I just didn't like that at all. So
I hear you.
Now, there are 31 other teams out there. Don't down the ball on him. Run it down his throat. Keep throwing. If you up 52-3, throw another touchdown. Can't stand that dude, man.
I hear you. Okay. All right, let's move on to number 20 on my hit list. He teased a lot of people preying on porous defenses for the past first 2 months in his second season, but was a disappointment because his arm talent and athleticism are below average. He essentially has to be perfect in terms of progression and reading accuracy and poise under duress. At certain times, there was signs of regression in all three departments, meaning regression in progression in reading accuracy and poise. He failed; his failure to improve caught up to his production down the stretch over the final six games, and I didn't know this. I'm reading the stat, including the Bengals' second straight one-and-done playoff berth. Andy Dalton completed 106 of 184 passes, which is a little 57.6% for 1,027 yards, which is, wow, this is even worse, 5.58 yards per attempt and a 4-touchdown-to-6 interception ratio. His performance has now taken steps back in the second half of the season in back-to-back years. That means he doesn't have a strong arm as it is. And as the season wears down, his arm strength diminishes, and his accuracy and all the other tools that a quarterback needs to be effective diminishes too. So the Bengals realized that his talent is not enough to carry the offense, so they got to improve the supporting cast. So they brought an all-purpose back in Giovanni Bernard in, and a movable tight end like Tyler Eifert. They also re-signed Andre Smith to the right tackle position, and number two wide receiver Mohamed Sanu. Finally, he got hurt last year. He's healthy. And for being playing in the quarterback position, so his backups are the deposed from Arizona, John Skelton, and the deposed from Minnesota Vikings, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think it is, Josh Johnson. And they got rid of Bruce Gretkowski, who happens to be a pretty gutty type of quarterback for these two guys. Skelton, who's got a big arm but is very erratic, and Josh Johnson, who's a very mobile quarterback. And like I said, despite the pass-catching upgrade with the tight end and the wide receiver coming back healthy and getting another healthy back, he's still limited in his talent. And he's definitely a quarterback, too. He's got to be able to play against some weak defenses to be effective, to be a decent quarterback in fantasy. He's still a quarterback, too, in my eyes. Quite naturally, he's probably going to have some good days because of the teams that they may play. But he's a low upside type of fantasy backup to me. Talk to me about Andy Dalton then.
Yeah, I agree with you. He got low upside on the fantasy. But I like the supporting cast around him. Is that youngin still hurt? Because I heard he got hurt. The wide receiver. What is it, AJ Green?
AJ Green. I think he tweaked a hamstring or something like that. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah,
you may be right
about
that.
Or a hammy or a knee, something like that. Yeah, that's not good, but. You know, anytime he has that guy on the field, all he has to do is throw it up. So he'll have some decent numbers,
mm-hmm.
And he's more of a managing type of quarterback. But I definitely wouldn't count him out because I remember when he was playing at TCU, that young play.
Mm-hmm.
He's a baller. He is
mm-hmm.
a baller. So, but yeah, I don't think I would take him.
You know, I probably would trade for him if one of my quarterbacks got hurt in round. Mm-hmm. I mean, in probably week 4 or 5 or something like that. You know, something drastic happened. Because I think he'll be out. He'll be out there. Not unless you, you in the Ohio area.
Yeah, you're right. He should be out there. Because his average draft position is 108, which would be in a 12-team league. That would be round 9. That's in round 9. Round 9. So, let's move on to this next player. His bye week is in bye week 12. He was a poor fit for the head coach that got canned over a long tenure in that team. He still has a lot of playmaking ability, and this is all conducive that he becomes the starter on this team. But he can stretch the field with his legs quite a bit, but he still has the inability to read coverage, throw with a consistent anticipation or accuracy, and properly adjust protections at the line of scrimmage, which if for those who are watching, was a second disastrous year for Mr. Michael Vick. He's an undisciplined player. He had, like I said, he had the tendency to turn over the ball. He has a tendency to not play a full season. But he's got a coach that may help him if he retains the starting job. That'll be in a run-first offense, and a read-option type of offense. And he may be able to resurrect Michael Vick's career. He averages about 11 fumbles per season, which is crazy. And he's missed 13 games over the last 3 years, which is still crazy. Hopefully, if he picks up the offense, he can be the starter. But he's another boom or bust type of quarterback. When he's boom, he's crazy good. When he's bad, he's crazy bad. Michael Vick is my 19-rated quarterback on my hit list. Talk to me.
Yeah, I got to agree with you with a whole lot of humility. Because Michael Vick... Because I'm going to tell you, man, I have never seen anybody play the way Michael Vick played. I mean,
right.
This guy really just made me – he's the reason why I got more excited about the NFL. And it's hard to do that when my Redskins is just losing, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Just block to somebody. But that guy was just phenomenal. But I think Chip Kelly, he would be a fool to start Nick Foles ahead of Michael Vick. He really would. You got a healthy Michael Vick, and you want to run that up-tempo offense that you keep talking about, and you want to do something innovative and something like that, you have no better player than Michael Vick. No better player than Michael Vick to start that with. You know?
Right.
I think he's playing around or whatever. You know how some of them coaches do, playing close to the or whatever. But he's gonna have to start Vic is gonna have to figure out a way to run this offense and play this game so that he can last through 16 games. So if they run that read option, I like it. I like it for him because I think it'll give him an opportunity to make those decisions. But if he makes those bad decisions, he get in there because Mike like to get in there and mix it up with you. So it'll remain to be seen. But I agree with you. He's definitely a boom or bust.
Yeah, and the thing about it, Michael Vick is not a sturdy, durable quarterback. So the problem with the read option is that you leave your quarterback vulnerable to a hit, because I think what the defenses are going to do now against the read option is hit the quarterback, because the quarterback gets that ball and he's got to make a choice. Is he going to keep it, or is he going to give it to the running back?
That's not going to work. They tried that with us over and over last year. What they're going to do with the read option now is not give the quarterback a quick read, because that's what it's all about. It's all about him making a quick read. Because when he takes the ball and fakes it to the guy, you know, and he freezes the offense. Like with linebackers, they freeze the linebackers for up to like 1.9 seconds. That's a long time. You know what I mean? On a regular play action fake, you know, you may get a linebacker to freeze for like 1.3 seconds. But like I said, but what they're going to do, what they have to do defensively is not give him a quick read. Like when the end comes up, he's just got to come straight. You know, he doesn't, you know, don't lean in and don't look like you're going, you know, don't look like you're going after the quarterback. Don't give him a quick read, which would then, you know, frustrate the quarterback a little bit. Because that's what the defense has to do. They have to get it in his head. There's a coach, there's a defensive coach that everybody is going to talk to down there in Stanford. You know, the defensive coach in Stanford. You know, if anybody listening, you want to go check him out. That brother is real sharp. You know, because, you know, he went up against Chip Kelly in that read option for years. And, you know, Chip Kelly in Oregon was, you know, taking it to him.
Sure.
Until, you know, a couple of games last year, they slowed him down and they beat him.
Right.
And, you know, so that's why a lot of NFL coaches have been going out there checking him out. And that's the crux of what he was saying. You know, he was saying, you know, just hitting the quarterback, that ain't going to be enough. That ain't going to be enough. Because I forgot what he said that they would do, or, you know, they'd bring another person around, or, you know, bring an end around and hand off on the end around, that'll leave another guy open. That guy is real sharp. So you got to check it out. You got to check it out. And it was also, you know, it's not going to be like the Wildcat. It's not going to be the Wildcat. Here today, gone tomorrow.
Right. All right. Let's move on to my number 18. The statistics didn't cooperate due to glaring deficiencies in Miami's supporting cast, but Tannehill looked every bit the part of a franchise quarterback in his rookie season. He is smart, athletic, accurate with plus arm strength, and handled the underrated pre-snap phase like a savvy veteran. Last year, he had Brian Hartline as the number one passing game option, and ineffective musical tears at left tackle. Tannehill received consistently weak protection and rarely had the opportunity to throw open to open receivers. He finished as the number 24 ranked quarterback in fantasy, he only reached 300 yards just once last year. So quite naturally, Jeff Ireland, who happens to be the GM of the Dolphins, attacked the skill positions in free agency and put out the $48.5 million in guaranteed money into Mike Wallace, Hartline, Dustin Keller, and Brandon Gibson. They got rid of safety valve slot man Devon Best, who I happen to like a lot. He was a very consistent slot wide receiver that Tannehill and even the quarterbacks before Tannehill came on relied a lot on Devon Best. They got 2012 second-round pick Jonathan Martin, who struggled mightily as a rookie. He's going to move from right tackle to left tackle, and quite naturally, his weapons and I mentioned them already, Wallace, Hartline, Keller, and Gibson, look a lot better on paper now that they're in the fold. And the offensive line hopefully hasn't gotten any worse. It's better, quite naturally. Dolphins play a balanced offense under Mike Sherman, and Tannehill is likely still at least 1 year from a fantasy breakout. He's still worth rostering as a back-end quarterback, too, to see what happens. Most likely he'll land on the fantasy waiver wires. You know what? I'm not a real Miami Dolphins fan. I rated this guy number 18, but this guy, in my opinion, is a sleeper. I really, really like this guy. I think he's going to make strides, especially with being in the second year in the league and with having safety valves and as in Dustin Keller and consistent receivers and Mike Wallace and Brian Hartline. Brandon Gibson is a big deep threat, and along with their running back that they have, who this past offseason trained with his fellow Miami Hurricane, Frank Gore. I'm talking about Lamar Miller. There's been a lot of hype in the Miami Dolphins, extremely lot of hype. They're going to be playing tomorrow in the Hall of Fame game against the Dallas Cowboys. Hopefully we'll get to see a preview of things to come from the Miami Dolphins. I just say, Miami Dolphin fans, I know you're pretty excited because of all the hype. Tender that hype because you have to wait and see, and it all depends on your quarterback. But I still think this guy's it's going to show a market improvement from last year, but I still rate him 18. Talk to me, Macau.
Man, how you got Ryan Tannehill rated ahead of Michael Vick? Oh, my God. Oh. Been talking to Victor way too much, man. That man is... man. Dude is affecting you. He's affecting you. I'm
well, let me put it this way. You have to see, Michael Vick is not a consistent quarterback. And he's boom or bust, and he doesn't play a full season. He's never played a full season, so there's a lot of negative on Michael Vick. Even though when he does play and he plays effectively, he's a dynamite player. But how much of that are you going to get?
Man, you going to rank Ryan Tannehill above Michael Vick?
Yes.
I'm not seeing that, man. I am not seeing that. I like Ryan Tannehill too. You know, I mean, because he's running the same offense that he ran in college or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, he's hooked up with his old coach, so it's not that much of a learning curve that he has to do as far as learning the offense and the verbiage and stuff like that. So now, this year he only had to get adjusted to the speed of the game. So now. You know, I look for him to take another step up this year, you know, to do his thing or whatever. But I don't think he's better than Mike Vick. But
Okay.
But
okay.
Anyway, does Miami have the same coach that they had when they did Hard Knocks? I keep asking
yes.
that. I don't know.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. So. Good. Good.
That was last year when he got rid of Chad last year.
Yeah.
So
I don't like that dude. So my picking is still good. Michael Vick will be better than this dude.
Okay. Well then you really
based
gonna
on
have
that coach. Based on that coach.
Okay. Well then you're really gonna have a bone to pick me with this one. This guy has been in the league for 4 years into the league. And I'm still not sure what he is. He's a talented passer, but he had very limited talent around him in the passing game. Is he a 25-year-old ruined by early career hits, or an average player who won't ever become a whole lot better? He took a step forward last year from his 2011 week-to-week performances were highly inconsistent, and there were times the Rams' play calling hinted the staff had become frustrated with him. Now, Sam Bradford finished as the 16th-rated quarterback, which was the best of his fantasy career, but he was never a realistic fantasy starter. Quite naturally, St. Louis, because of the limitations they had on the passing game and options in the passing game, they devoted a lot in the offseason to upgrading the protection around Sam Bradford and his weapons. They signed Jake Long from the Miami Dolphins to be a left tackle. They signed Jared Cook from the Tennessee Titans to be his tight end. They also signed Brian Quick. They got Brian Quick last year, but now they have a Brian Quick for a second year. They signed a big playmaker, Tavon Austin, and they have Chris Givens who played. I wouldn't say consistent. He was their big play threat last year. So they have a array of talent now. Plus they have the three-headed backfield in the back of Isaiah Pede, Darrell Richardson, and Zach Stacy. So for the first time, he enters the season with the same coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer, who I'm not really happy about, that he had the year before. So all the signs point to a step up, a step forward, I should say, in all his statistics. But up until this point, he hasn't shown much. So he's got to show out this year. So he's a question mark for me, but he's rated number 17 with an upside. Talk to me about it.
He's 1 foot in and 1 foot out too. So yeah, I would go with he's slight boom or bust with a slight upside. Had to remind you that, you know, Jeff Fisher is no quarterback coach. You know, he's real hard on quarterback.
Yes.
And this guy is a different quarterback than the types of quarterbacks that he's had success with. You know, he's more of the traditional type of quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, he's always had mobile, tough, you know, physically tough quarterbacks. Because I ain't even going to get into, you know, young, his mental state. But I just don't know. You know, this Fisher is a very good coach to build the team. And the Rams were extremely smart with signing him. You know, because he's definitely a long tenured type of coach. You know, you like to have a guy like that around. I don't know if he is a Super Bowl winner. You know, he hasn't won any Super Bowl with any of his teams. You know, they've always tried, and they've always played hard, and he's always had, like, you know, some of the nastiest defenses you ever want to play against. But I like Sam Bradford. I really do. And my coach likes him as well. He wanted him badly. He wanted him real bad. So, I'm going to have to agree with you on that. Yeah, he's a boom or bust with a slight upside. I would pick him up. I wouldn't pick him up in the early rounds. I would wait till, you know, late. He would probably be a number two quarterback for me.
Okay. All right, let's move on to the next one. Happens to be this guy's season was turned around when his offensive coordinator was fired about middle of December, and they took the quarterback's coach that they had on the team and made him the offensive coordinator, calling plays And Joe Flacco's production took off as he completed 138 of 231 throws, just shy of 60%, 59.7 for 1,900 yards and an 8.31 yards per attempt. And a staggering, this is staggering, I didn't realize this stat, but this is staggering, 18 to 2 touchdown interception ratio from week 14 through their Super Bowl run. I knew he had was having a hell of a late season and playoff run, but that's ridiculous. Quite naturally, he's your typical drop back quarterback. He isn't a great athlete, and he's never handled pressure that particularly well. But he got possibly one of the strongest arms in football, and he likes to throw the ball and pretty accurately throw the ball down the field, and he likes Torrey Smith. He's got more upside than his results suggest. Quite naturally, he had a big blow when Dennis Pitta went down for the year. Now he's got to rely on Vasante Shanko for one, along with Dixon as the tight ends, and Anquan Boldin is no longer there. So, and he signed a big time contract, $120 million man he is now.
Yeah.
So they need a number two wide receiver, which is a huge concern. He comes out of a Brady-like year over the final 8 games, a 36-4 touchdowns interception ratio, which is what you can see over a year of a season. So I think his best football is ahead of him. With all the guys they lost on defense. Name guys they lost on defense. I think the defense is going to be a little weaker. That calls in turn that Joe Flacco is going to have to put the ball up more. That in turn says that he's going to rack up a few more fantasy points than he has in the past because of the defensive deficiencies. So he's a sleeper at quarterback one. But he's a high upside two at best. So I like Joe Flacco, but he's number 16 on my hit list. So, but he can have a huge upside depending on how things roll for the Baltimore Ravens. Talk to me, Macau.
Man, I don't know what you're doing, man. But you trying to just, you know, taper enthusiasm with your picks, man? What you doing?
What do you mean?
Oh, my goodness. No, I mean, this dude has arrived. He's here.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? In my opinion, until he shows otherwise, you know, I'm not doubting him anymore. I expect him to do good now, which means I have him in the top echelon of quarterbacks. You know, he had the lower end of it, but he's at the top end. He's there. I mean,
mm-hmm.
He won the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Super Bowl MVP did his thing, and I watched that game. He was swinging that ball. He was swinging. That
mm-hmm.
dude was serious. He was like a man on fire watching that game. So, I got him in the upper echelon. Of quarterbacks, you know, I got him up there with the Manning boys, Rodgers, Brady, and he's up there too. He's definitely up there. He at the lower end. He behind all them dudes. Once you get past all of them, you got to make sure you name off all the top ones before you name
mm-hmm.
them. But he's
okay.
There. He's definitely there.
All right.
He's
well,
definitely there.
We're going to be running overtime here, so I'm going to be finishing all the way up to number one. So For those who are listening,
okay, we'll do a speed round, Jane. Let's do a speed, like, I'll do it quick.
We don't have to do a speed round. I mean, we got time. I'm just going to be going over round, over a run here.
Okay.
Right now it's going to be, I got about 20 seconds before the hour is up. So I'm definitely going to go over, but it is what it is. Tune in next week, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, same place, same time. I will be here. Vic won't because of his government obligations. I'll say it like that. But we will be back. Yes, sir, is right. Let's move on to number 15. Now, he played behind a very weak line. Now, you know, there's a lot of theme here of these lot of quarterbacks that are below the top 15, top 10. They play behind some very poor offensive lines. This next quarterback played against played behind one of the worst ones, and he had pedestrian production, but he still peppered his number one wide receiver. I think his number one wide receiver had the most targets, but he had little help anywhere else. In week 10, he suffered his fifth concussion of his football career. He missed the week 11. He returned to close out the season with an uninspiring 7-touchdown-to-4-interception ratio and 204-yard average, which is sorry, over the final 6 games. He's got a huge arm. He's a pretty mobile quarterback. But because of the type of offense they were running, because of the type of offensive line they had, and because the weapons that he did not have, he had a very pedestrian-type fantasy season. They finished 10-6. They got rid of their coach, defensive-minded coach, and brought in a pass-first CFL coach called Mark Trestman. Jake Cutler is going to be playing in a quick-hitting West Coast attack design to help him get the ball out of his hands fast. Mark Trestman has an extensive NFL experience coordinating the 49ers offense with 2 of Steve Young's Pro Bowl seasons and Oakland's Rich Gannon's MVP year. So they signed Martellus Bennett. They have a healthy Alshon Jeffrey. They also got a left tackle, Jermon Bushrod, and they also drafted another Howie Long's son, Kyle Long, in the first round as a guard. So they're trying to shore up the offensive line. They're trying to get consistent, for the most part, tight end. And the coach is a offensive-minded and a definitely quarterback-friendly type of coach that can coach up Jay Cutler to be more effective than he has in the past with Lovie Smith and last year's offensive coordinator Mike Tice. So he was a top 5 fantasy quarterback in 2008. So he can be a quarterback one if he's given the weapons and the protection. So I think Jay Cutler is a high upside quarterback too. I think he's going to have a better year than he had last year. I don't know how much better. I rated him number 15 on my list. He can be had probably in the 10th round, believe it or not, in a 10-team league. Probably even later than that, believe it or not. So he's a quarterback, too, with sleeper potential. He could be a lot better than that. But he's number 15. Talk to me, Macau.
I can't believe.
There's a lot you
can't
believe.
I'm really stunned by you. I can't believe you got this dude ranked higher than
Joe Flacco. Yeah.
Oh, my. What are you doing? I mean, I like, you know what? I like Cutler. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I like Cutler. But it's going to take a certain type of coach to deal with him. Lovey's a good coach. I'm not saying Lovey's a good coach.
Right.
He just, his personality just don't fit with him. You know what I mean? He need a dude like Mike Shanahan. He need a coach like him. Like Mike Shanahan or maybe like a Jeff Fisher or something like that. I don't know about this guy. I have no idea who he is, what he's about. So it's all new for me and them and everybody else. So Chicago is going on a ride with this. But I don't want the Chicago fans to feel like they, you know, that they got some stepchild of a quarterback, though, either. Because that dude is like that. Yes, he is. I mean, he might not be the toughest, you know what I'm saying? But if he get on there, he get mean, and he get to slinging that rock, he will sling it. As far as fantasy, he's done well. I've had him myself in fantasy. Mm-hmm. He did quite well for me. So it's not a bad pickup for a number one. I wouldn't run it. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, storm the line out there to get him or whatever, but because he'll be there. He'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's
okay.
All I got on.
All right. My next quarterback, number 14 on my list. This offense took a huge step back following their Super Bowl win, and there was a number of contributing factors. Hakeem Nicks was a shell of himself because of his knee and foot injuries, and Eli Manning experienced a tired arm late in the year and failed to clear 250 yards in seven of the final seven games, in the final nine games. Martellus Bennett battled knee injuries and was ineffective as a receiver down the stretch. With that being said, Eli ranked 15th among fantasy quarterbacks, which was a personal low since his rookie year nearly a decade ago. Bennett is no longer there. He went followed the money trail. He went to Chicago. So the Giants picked up Brandon Myers, a tight end from the Raiders, who I think is an extremely good pick. Huge, very good pick. I wouldn't even have to say it rivals being a better tight end than Martellus Bennett. He just lacks a big play ability, but he's an efficient pass catcher. Nicks is still battling health issues, knee, and I think he's got a hamstring injury right now. They signed Victor Cruz, so to a big contract. Reuben Randall is in his third year, I think it is, well, second year. He was Manning's number one receiver during the spring. Quite naturally, the Giants, under Tom Coughlin, always emphasized the run game. And Ahmad Bradshaw is no longer with them. He's with the Indianapolis Colts. So the 2012 first-round pick, David Wilson, will pick up the number one running back duties. Hopefully he can do well in that category. And I'll talk about that in a few weeks about the running game, and he's going to be one of my running backs I talk about. But Eli Manning needs to pick it up because he was 15th among fantasy quarterbacks last year. I have him ranked number 14 right now. Macau, what do you think about number 14th ranked Eli Manning?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, man. You know, I like the Giants. I mean, I literally hate the Giants. But you know, I hate the Cowboys more. But I have a healthy respect for Eli Manning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm so in love with my quarterback. I'm not a fool to say that my quarterback is the best in the division. You know, he's not. Eli is. I I don't know about fantasy. You know, the guy that I would look to and say that he would put up big numbers week in and week out. I just don't know. He just got that laid back Southern all shut type thing that it's like you don't know and light it up or you know come there and stink up his.
Yep.
You know, a regular game. So it's fantasy. I can see why you got him there, but I don't know. I wouldn't touch him. I wouldn't touch him. I mean, I'm being completely biased. I wouldn't touch him, but I don't disregard him as not being the best quarterback in the NFC East because he is. He definitely is.
Okay. Wow. Okay. This next quarterback, number 13, Lucky 13, Florissant, the new coordinator, Todd Haley's completion-friendly pass-first attack. He was on pace for statistical career highs across the board over the first eight games. Quite naturally, in week 10, he suffered an SC sprain in his throwing shoulder and partially dislocated a rib. He missed the next three games. He returned for the final month, looking like a shell of his old self. Excuse me, although he did manage 9 touchdowns to 4 interception ratio over that span. He finished at the number 19 fantasy quarterback, which was the lowest ranking since his rookie year. Okay, he's a better fantasy statistic for injured players in points per game. Big Ben was the overall quarterback, QB 11 in that quarterback, in that category. Okay, he lost Mike Wallace to Miami. Heath Miller is recovering from 3 ligament tears in his right knee. So he has Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders, if I'm not mistaken. He's got a young the Pittsburgh Steelers are going with a young offensive line. They let Willie Colon and Max Starts leave. And he right now he's suffering from a slight knee problem, I think, if I'm not mistaken. They drafted in the first round Le'Veon Bell, as their workhorse running back because Jonathan Dwyer and the other running back they have there escapes me is a plotter's. They need a playmaker and a let Rashad Mendenhall walk. He was on pace for over 4,000 yards, all right? I'm talking about Big Ben Roethlisberger. I think he's going to have a bounce-back year as long as the offensive line holds up. Big Ben is going to play through a lot of injuries. As long as it's nothing to do with his shoulder and arm, I think he's going to have a surprising year than most people think. That's why I have him rated lucky number 13. Big Ben Roethlisberger. Talk to me, Macau.
You got Big Ben Roethlisberger.
What's that?
You got Big Ben ranked over Flacco? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, then you really are not going to like the next one I have, if that's the case. I guess you don't have anything.
I don't agree with it. I'm going to leave it there. I got nothing. You just leave me speechless on that one. Wow.
Okay.
And you put him over. I mean, but,
yep.
You know. That's not debatable. I can understand that. You got them kind of, you know, one there and one there. You can move them around and say, I ain't tripping about that. But Flacco? Maybe
okay.
Last year. Maybe last year.
All right. Well, that's number 13. You're really going to love number 12. He catches flack, and as soon as I say this, you're going to know who I am. He catches flack for having only one career playoff win, but he's entrenched as a top 10 regular season quarterback carrying a deficient talent team to win one game of an NFC East title in 2012. Quite naturally, his wide receiver, Dez Bryant, who's a beast, development into a top-five NFL receiver helped turn this into a special fantasy season. Despite major pass protection issues and often one-dimensional offense due to long stretches without a running game, and Miles Austin continued to climb, Romo engineered top-eight fantasy production on the strength of elite pocket movement, aggressive downfield passing, and a career high in yards. His touchdown-to-interception ratio in December was 10 touchdowns to one pick before a three-pick Week 17 meltdown, and that was crucial because that cost him a playoff berth. The Cowboys are now 1-6 all time in win or go home games started by Romo. Okay, undeterred by his lack of clutch factor, Jerry Jones signed up for 7 more years of Romo on a $119.5 million price tag with $55 million guaranteed. So Mr. Romo is here to stay, all right? He doesn't offer the upside of a Kaepernick, Wilson, RG3, or even a Ryan, but he'll be a value pick in the mid to late rounds as a fantasy passer who at the very least keeps you competitive week to week. Just be prepared for the every now and then four interception bonehead game, which we know Tony Romo can do. But Tony Romo has been a consistent, highly ranked fantasy quarterback. Tony Romo, he's my number 12 as in his hit list. Talk to me, my man.
Oh, my God.
I knew it.
Oh, my God, man. I'm going to have to come out to Oakland and punch my cousin in the stomach because he is just affecting you in just a negative way. You got Romo ranked ahead of Flacco,
mm-hmm.
Manning, and Roethlisberger? Really?
Mm-hmm.
No, man, that dude is too streaky. The reason why he's a top fantasy pick, all he just because all them stupid Cowboys fans keep picking him up. That's all that is. Come
okay.
on, man. That dude, one game, for like three games, he'll do good, and then the next two, one of them he'll have a bonehead four interceptions. And then the next one, he'll throw like one or, and just don't do anything during the game to win the game. And you're looking at your fantasy numbers like, damn, what did he do this week?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. But, he does have good fantasy because if he doesn't understand these words that I'm about to say, throw the ball to Dez Bryant. Just throw it. And
mm-hmm.
He don't even have to have any kind of touch or anything. Throw it up. I'm serious. That guy is a color beast, and I said that last year. And
mm-hmm.
I was like, man, and y'all was like, I don't know. He wasn't there. I was like, man, whatever. Throw it to him. Just throw it
mm-hmm.
to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I think that young'un is a lot more upside than he did last year. He's got a whole hell of a lot more upside.
Oh, yeah.
Because he got a whole lot more to prove.
Mm-hmm.
That young is going to be a total beast.
Yep. All right, let's move on to my number 11, which should be make my wife smile. He was a clipboard toting up until week 10 when a concussion turned his season around. Turned a lot of people's season around. Let me put it that way. He was the backup. It turned the starters' season around. It turned the whole team around. All right? The next week, week 11, he started on Monday night against the Red Hot Bears and torched Chicago's top five defense for 255 total yards and two scores in a 32-7 beatdown. giving San Francisco field stretching and explosive dual threat ability they lacked under game manager Alex Smith, and that's why he's rated number 25. He's the game manager. Coach Jim Harbaugh was left with no choice but to promote Cap, which is his nickname, or short for Kaepernick, to the starter, leading the 49ers to the Super Bowl 47. Kaepernick went berserk from week 15 on, accounting for 14 all-purpose touchdowns and a 312 total yard average over the six-game stretch. He's got a huge arm. I like his arm. He can flat-out fly when sprung into the open off the read option. His long-range ceiling is through the roof. I really like this kid. Quite naturally, San Francisco got rid of Alex Smith because they feel that Kaepernick is their franchise quarterback. The 49ers traded for Anquan Boldin. Unfortunately, Kaepernick's go-to guy got hurt, and he's not going to be Michael Crabtree. He got hurt. He's not going to be with the team this year. They returned all five starters on the offensive line, but what they're doing with the loss of Michael Crabtree, they're making Vernon Davis a tight end slash wide receiver. He's playing both positions, which is a smart move because Vernon is a bulked up wide receiver. Well, he's got wide receiver speed. Let me put it that way. The only thing I want Kaepernick to be able to do is to be a little bit more accurate, but he's a big play machine waiting to happen. He's got huge upside, and I love this kid, and I got him rated number 11 in my hit list. Colin Kaepernick, 6'6", 230 from Nevada. Talk to me, Macau.
I'm more interested in seeing who you got ranked above him. Goodness gracious. I mean, I don't have no argument, you know, who you know how you have him ranked, who you have him ranked over. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you didn't even get him to the, you didn't get him in the top 10.
No. No.
Oh my goodness! You know he's going to be, he is going to be gone after what, round four. Round four, round five, if you didn't grab him, he's going to be gone. He is going to be.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
Between him, my man, RG3, and Russell, last name Wilson, yeah, those three dudes are going to be gone by round four or five. They will be gone. But you know, depending on the type of league, if you got more of advanced type of coaches, you know, and players and stuff like that playing in picking in the league, he may stick around to around five or maybe slide to seven. But if you are listening to the guy you want to grab, after you get your star running back, you want to get your star quarterback. Or even if you've gotten your two star running back, you know what I'm saying? You want to grab this guy. You definitely want to grab him. I would absolutely put money on him. If I had the time to get into a fantasy league, which I don't understand, man. How y'all got all this time to do this? I ain't got time to do it. Oh my God. But I definitely grab this guy. You know, after I grab RG3, but you know. I grab this guy. Definitely
okay.
Grab this guy.
All right. My next guy. Now we're starting with the top 10. My next guy reached new heights in his offensive coordinator's first season with the Atlanta Falcons. Matt Ryan led the NFL in completion rate and set career highs in touchdown passes, adjusted yards per attempt, quarterback rating, and passing yards by 542. Benefiting from his offensive coordinator's fast tempo pass-first attack, Ryan ranked sixth in the league in pass attempts and seventh in fantasy quarterback scoring. His arm strength is only average, and his pocket presence can be inconsistent, but he's an efficient, aggressive, intermediate to deep thrower surrounded by three all-pro caliber targets in Julio Jones, Roddy White, and Tony Gonzalez. Quarterback's dream, all three of these guys, in my opinion. The Falcons will continue to field a high-scoring offense, though they don't throw the ball as often as New Orleans, New England, or Detroit. And Steven Jackson will siphon away some viable attempts and touchdowns. Ryan remains a strong quarterback one, even if he doesn't offer mammoth upside. I loved it. I love Matt Ryan this year, especially with the addition of Steven Jackson in the backfield. They have another option in the passing game coming out of the backfield versus just Michael Turner. Most defenses knew what Michael Turner was all about because when he was in the game, he didn't touch any passes. Michael Turner would come out. Jaquizz Rodgers would come in. Then they knew they had a passing option in the offense when that happened. Now the defense is going to be asking more questions about what the Falcons are going to do with Roddy White, Julio Jones, Tony Gonzalez, and Steven Jackson coming out of the backfield, either running the ball or being able to catch the ball and make plays. I love Matt Ryan this year. Number 10 is where I'm at. Talk to me.
That's decent. That's a good spot for him. That's a good spot for him. I like Matt Ryan as well. Looking for him. Looking to see if he can take it to that next level. I don't know if he gets past Mr. Rogers' neighborhood or whatever, but that remains to be seen. Or him getting around the dude that you got ranked below him, but. As far as fantasy goes, he's definitely a consistent quarterback that you want to grab. Definitely, if you're all about consistency, and you miss the hot picks, you can't really miss with this guy. You can't.
Okay, well, this guy, I know you're gonna say, why the heck is he up there? But I mean, he's got a name. He couldn't beat out RG3 for Rookie of the Year, and Russell Wilson took his team further in the playoffs, but neither of the two were asked to do as much as Andrew Luck in their respective first season. Not only did he break Cam Newton's rookie passing yardage record, he handled the underrated pre-snap phase like a Manning and executed Bruce Arians' offense like a Roethlisberger, all the while playing behind a sieve of an offensive line and compensating for the Colts' bottom seven defense. He flourished in Arians' low-percentage vertical passing game, leading the NFL in game-winning drives, which was 7, and ranked 10th among quarterbacks in fantasy scoring. No quarterback was knocked down more than Luck in 2012. There was the offensive line graded as the league's second worst unit in pass protection, ahead of only, and this is pretty bad, because Arizona was pretty bad, but they only ranked second worst in unit pass protection ahead of Arizona. And that's pretty bad. Luck is ranked conservatively here because Hamilton, who happens to be the offensive coordinator, and Coach Pagano promised to scale back his 2013 pass attempts. The result should be more efficient play, and Luck, along with his support cast, can only get better. He has an upside to again finish comfortably in the top 10. That's why I have Andrew Luck ranked number nine in my fantasy quarterback hit parade.
Oh my God! You got Andrew Luck ranked ahead of Matt Ryan and Colin Kaepernick.
Oh yeah, something wrong with you.
And Flacco. Nah, I don't know. I can't sign off on that one. I like Andrew Luck. You know, I do think he is kind of high or whatever. But oh man,
Now, he wouldn't be a guy that I would go after. He wouldn't be a guy that I go after. I mean, because he's got another learning curve that he's going to have to face this year. I like Pagano or whatever. I don't think he's a bad coach or what have you. But I think a lot of that success had to do with Arian. You know what I'm saying? And well, you know, a percentage of it. It's not like Pagano's no slouch coach, but. You got him trying to hide.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. That's two of the in the top 11, and the last two or three of the rookie quarterbacks that I have ranked pretty high. Well, this next one drove defenses crazy in Mike and Kyle Shanahan's pistol option offense. Quite naturally, RG3 roared out of the gates with an aggressive vertical passing mentality and designed runs to maximize his game-breaking run skills. He was the number one fantasy quarterback through Thanksgiving before he missed time in weeks 14 and 15 with a right knee injury. And they brought him back to the pack. Despite 15 combined missed games from top receiver Pierre Garçon and tight end Fred Davis, RG3 finished as the number four quarterback in fantasy per game and NFL leader in both yards attempt and interception rate. Unfortunately, he was hobbled, and I think they would have done better if he wasn't, by his ACL and LCL in the first quarter against Seattle. And he had reconstructive surgery, like everyone knows, over the off season for the right knee, which seems to be I wouldn't say fully healed, but healed enough that he's on the practice field now. Quite naturally, you know, just like RG3 attacked the defense, he attacked his rehab the same way. It seemed like he's ahead of schedule in the offseason. Everybody thinks RG3's health is a concern. He's going to be a top five fantasy quarterback option every time he takes the field. If you draft him, make sure you secure a quality quarterback too, because the style of play that he plays can be susceptible to injury. But if he's out on the field, he's going to make some big plays and rack up fantasy points for you week in and week out as long as he's healthy on the field. That's why I have RG3, number 8, on my fantasy quarterback hit parade. Talk to me, man.
That's a respectable area. You got him at, you know, 8. That's pretty respectable.
You give me good marks for that one. Okay.
Yeah, I'm giving you good marks for that one. You know,
you don't have them too high, you don't have them too low.
So, not mad at you about that. I'm trying to think of what to say to some of these fantasy owners about RG3 that, you know, they probably haven't heard before. No, he is participating in practice, but he's not in the 11-on-11 drill.
Right.
And he's kind of been, you know, whenever they had the 11-on-11 drills, he's been kind of pacing the sidelines. I mean, he's just acting like a caged cat, you know. When he participated in the 7-on-7, he's been fairly good. I just don't know what else to say. I don't think that I'd be a fool to say I'm not concerned about his health. I mean, because this knee is the most bad knee ever in this city. And probably in the state. I mean, everybody's heard all about his knee. I think we all could be doctors that analyze this guy's ACL so much and talk about it so much. I mean, because I had no idea what an LCL was. All I knew was ACL and MCL. Then this happened, and it's the LCL, and I was reading about that. And I never read anything like that. But anyway, I wouldn't, and this would be shocking. I wouldn't run out there and grab RG3. Because there's gonna be the whole herd of folks just going after him. In your league or what have you. I'm not saying stay clear away from him. If you have the opportunity to grab him, yeah, you want to grab him, but I don't think he's gonna be there.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay. Well, this next guy, number 7 on my hit list, pretty much everything that could go wrong did go wrong. No quarterback in football was hurt more by his supporting cast than Matthew Stafford, from an in-season mental meltdowns, Titus Young to drops, Brandon Pettigrew and Tony Scheffler, and injuries to Nate Burleson and Ryan Broyles. Stafford was also the victim of bad luck as Calvin Johnson was tackled at the 1-yard line an unthinkable 6 times over the course of the season. Quite naturally, and if you watch Matthew Stafford play, you can see this. He's not without blame. His passing mechanics went in the toilet due to poor protection, but this should have, could have, would have been a better way, a better fantasy campaign had just a few more things going right. Despite leading the league, in pass attempts, Stafford regressed from the number 4 fantasy quarterback in 2011 to the 11th ranked scorer in 2012. Over the offseason, the Lions released Titus Young, and anybody who follows football knows the issues Titus Young, mental issues that Titus Young has had, and I pray for the young man. Hopefully he gets himself right. Nate Burleson suffered an injury, and he took a pay cut to come back. Quite naturally, they have a new feature back in Reggie Bush, which is going to add some juice to the running game that they really didn't have last year, and also to the passing game, because Reggie Bush is going to be the Javid Best that they so long looked for and lost because the Javid Best got hurt. Broyles is coming off an ACL tear. The second one in as many seasons, and they're looking for big things from him to play in the passing game. The offensive line lost 3 starters, including the Jeff Backus, but they retooled, and hopefully the offensive line is going to be up to snuff. Compared to what they were in the last year. Stafford, believe it or not, is younger than Colin Kaepernick, Andy Dalton, and Christian Ponder. He's only 25 years old. He's 9 months older than Russell Wilson. He plays in one of the NFL's pass-heaviest offenses and has arguably the NFL's strongest arm, and plays with the number 1 wide receiver in fantasy and in the NFL. I look for Matthew Stafford and the Detroit Lions to make a significant jump in what they did last year, this year. That's why I have Matthew Stafford rated number 7 on my list. Talk to me, Macau.
Man, talk about optimism. Wow. You got Matthew Stafford that high? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. I mean, I like Matt Stafford and all, but I think he's up there a lot more because of the his who he's throwing to, and that wide receiver is no joke. That dude, that fan is a man child. That, I don't even know what he is. That's a perfect. From a cyborg. I don't know what that dude is.
Megatron, man. Megatron. Yeah. The Beast is right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect name for him. No idea what that dude is. He's just unreal. I mean, anytime you can throw to a freak like that, your numbers are going to be kind of gone. But, you know, he does have, and you know, added to the fact that he's got a gunslinger's mentality. So, but I think he got him kind of high. I wouldn't run out there and get him. I would leave him alone. And as far as Detroit, a significant step up for them is one more game, one more win than they had last year. Or better yet, they may even win on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's true. But I think they're going to make it. I think they're going to play a lot better than they did last year, man. And I think they're at least going to be a 500 team. I really believe that. So.
Okay.
So. Anyway, anyway, I have a financial stake in against your cousin. So hopefully they play well. Anyway. Anyway, my next one is probably one of the biggest surprises of the NFL last year. Drafted in the third round to push Matt Flynn and incumbent Tarvaris Jackson, Mr. Russell, last name Wilson, proceeded to run circles around his competition throughout OTAs and preseason. And as Pete Carroll's mantra is, and he stays strict to it, best competitor will play philosophy, and named Wilson his starter on August 26th. After bringing him along slowly the first 5 weeks, Seattle removed Wilson's training wheels the rest of the way, and he took off. Across the final 13 contests, including the playoffs, Wilson went 212 of 330 for 64.2%, passing for 2,875 yards, with an 8.71 yard per attempt, 24 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions, and 5 more rushing touchdowns. Wilson was the number one fantasy quarterback scorer over the last 5 weeks of the season. He stands only at 5'10" and 5'8", 203 pounds. He throws a football with velocity and deep balls with accuracy. He is a control playmaker, and I got to say that because he was a rookie beyond his years last year, and I think another off season and another season under his belt, he's got huge upside. He's rated number 6 right now. They landed Percy Harvin. Unfortunately, he's hurt. Sidney Rice just came back from. I think it's Switzerland with a non-football rehab or whatever they did for him with his knee. Golden Tate, I think, is going to surprise some people. The defense is outrageous, and it's going to be improved with their additions. They have any defense. He spent the offseason studying tape. The run-first mindset caps Wilson's passing stat upside, but he can compensate with rushing numbers. I wouldn't have any qualms about drafting Wilson as an every-week quarterback one. Talk to me, Macau.
I don't know. He's got a high on him, drinking that Kool-Aid on him. But, you know, and that Kool-Aid is very arguable. You know, I like Russell Wilson. I really do. I really, really do. Mind you that, you know, that whole training wheels they took off, they were watching videos of RG3. They were watching those videos.
You're probably right, man. I didn't think about that, but you're probably right about that.
And so was San Francisco. When they saw what the RG3 was doing, like, hold up, let's see what we got here. Oh,
right.
Okay. I got no disrespect for Russell. Russell came a long way. As a matter of fact, I really thought that he was going to. I thought they were going to beat Atlanta in that game. I had them beat Atlanta. But you know, it just didn't happen. He wouldn't be the guy that. Well. Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with number one quarterback, but, you know, he wouldn't be my first choice. Of course, you know, top three. So I got to give him that respect. So, yeah. Yeah, he's pretty good.
All right. Yeah. Well, now
you got to ride in my boy, right? He's all beat him.
Okay. Well, the next guy in line, number five. We're at number five. We're going to get to the top five now. All right. And this guy, his through the first seven games, his touchdown interception was 5 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. Just as fantasy owners begin selling for pennies on the dollar, he started it all. He's the man who started this all with these quarterbacks, and in my opinion, he's getting lost in the sauce here, and you shouldn't lose this because fantasy owners began selling pennies on a dollar after the first 7 games last year, and that's when Cam Newton caught fire. He accounted for 19 all-purpose touchdowns and just 4 picks over the final 9 games. And his rushing production actually improved as quarterbacks coach Mike Shula helped install a more traditional I-formation offense, replacing coordinator Rob Chudzinski's zone read attack. Cam Newton finished 4th in fantasy quarterback points after ranking 5th in the league as a rookie. The Panthers won't push for the league lead in pass attempts in this offense, but their quarterback is far more comfortable in it. Coach Ron Rivera says that the zone read is more of a wrinkle than a staple going forward. If last year's second half was any indication, that's good news for Cam's value. The outlook for me is that he's only 24. Only 24, Cam Newton is. He's the most physically gifted dual-threat quarterback in football. He has yet to put together a full season of dominance. If Newton performs for 16 as he did over the last final 9 games, he will lead all quarterbacks in fantasy scoring. That's why I have Mr. Cam Newton, the man who really started not going to say started, but recently started this wave of two dual-threat quarterbacks. Mr. Cam Newton's ranked number 5 on my hit list. Talk to me.
That's not bad. That's not bad. I got to give respect for that young man. He definitely has body to, you know, to play that style a little bit long. And I think he's more rounded than all of the rest of them. He's more rounded than Kaepernick, and you know, he's more physically gifted than RG3. But you know, the two of them have the small things over him. But he's more well rounded than all of them, and also, you know, Russell. You know what he got over Russell. But as far as him in fantasy or whatever. Yeah, I would take him. 5 is not a bad spot for him. 5 is not a bad spot for him.
Okay, the next guy here. Now we're getting to the nitty-gritty, man, the last 4. Okay, running the league's fast-paced offense on borrowed concepts from Chip Kelly's speed-spread attacks, the Patriots ranked 1st in the NFL in plays from scrimmage and 4th in pass attempts despite a new commitment to the run. And I think they're going to run it a lot more this year. Brady maintained the elite efficiency in the short to immediate pass games, carving up secondaries with Wes Welker, Rob Gronkowski, and Aaron Hernandez, even as deep shots to Brandon Lloyd were often off the mark. He accounted for 2 or more touchdowns in 13 of 16 weeks and finished 3rd in quarterback points behind Breeze and Rodgers, and all despite Gronk and Hernandez combined 11 games missed. The things that changed is that, quite naturally, Wes Welker is out. Danny Amendola is in. Brandon Lloyd is out. Rob Gronkowski is not sure when he's coming back. And, of course, Aaron Hernandez is totally out this season. So New England no longer plays quick score offense and is running the ball more, but Brady is a high-floor fantasy passer who's finished among the top three quarterback scorers in three straight years. Like I said, just keep an eye out on Gronkowski's situation. He's the most dominant red zone receiver in football. Missed time could impact Brady's touchdown total. Ultimately, worry about Gronk and the loss of Welker and Hernandez could make Brady a big-time value pick. He took the Pats to the AFC title game with Rishi Caldwell as the number one wide receiver. So even though Tom Brady has lost options, Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick are pretty creative in giving him more options with the people he has. So that's why I couldn't drop Tom Brady any lower than four. That's where he's at right now.
Cream of the crop, man. Cream of the crop. Brady is definitely cream of the crop. And you know what they say about cream. It always rises to the top. This young man will consistently find a way to get it done. You know, while I like all of their offensive weapons that they had, they didn't need them. They did not need them. They only, you know, and they can lean on, you can lean on a guy like Tom Brady. You know, he is the epitome of what an NFL quarterback is, and I really like that young dude. I really like watching him, you know what I'm saying? I really like watching him play, except, you know, of course, when he played against my Redskins. And you know what? It took me a long time to really appreciate him as much, you know, until I started watching the way he was playing. And it was like watching, a virtuoso, just like a little Picasso. And he make it look so easy, and it looks so simple, you know.
Right.
But those little simple things and the ease with which how he does it, you know, makes him, you know, the guy that he is. Fantasy, it's no doubt he is that guy. He's been, you know, I've always had him. In every fantasy league that I had, he's been my quarterback. I've always got him. Either him or the other Manning brother, but I can't put enough accolades on this young man. If you want a little slight on him, he does tend to be too company-ish, you know, and it really kind of takes away from his mentality because you know he's a well-established brand now. You would think he would speak more, but you know he doesn't speak. You know, he acts like he's a dumb jock, which he is not. He definitely is.
Right. All right, let's move on to number three. Number three, and I mean, if anybody's been following, you know what these number three are. It's just a matter of what order they are in. All right, number three, although four neck surgeries in a two-year span removed some velocity from Peyton Manning's fastball, his pinpoint accuracy, NFL best 68.6 completion rate, and pre-snap mastery remained constantly checking into favorable plays at the line of scrimmage. He set a 9-year high in touchdown passes, an 8-year high in yards per attempt, and led Denver to a 13-3 record. He's age 36. He finished as the number 6 overall fantasy quarterback. They returned four of the five offensive line starters. They've signed up Wes Welker, who's joined the receiving corps of Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker. They've also signed their first-round pick, Monte Ball. Although Manning's throws lacks ideal zip at this stage of his career, he's clearly capable of remaining highly productive with even better pieces around him. He's a safe, high-end quarterback one behind the next two guys that I'm going to name. Peyton Manning.
Man, let me publicly eat my words. Peyton Manning made me eat my words because I thought this dude was done. I thought it was over. Four neck surgeries and 15 doctors' opinions later, he's on top of he's back on top. So I've got to give that man his respect. All the respect due to him. He definitely is. Cornerstone of the NFL.
Brady and the other two guys that you got named here. So definitely you want to grab him.
All right. Signed to a 5-year, $100 million contract 2 weeks before camp. This next quarterback exploded out of the chute with 3 or more touchdown passes in 5 of his first 6 games. Bumps in the road were few, as he led all quarterbacks in fantasy scoring while pacing the NFL in both passing yards and touchdowns. The Saints' offense did lack its normal machine-like efficiency during Coach Sean Payton's bounty scandal suspension. Breeze's 63% completion rate was his worst since 2003, and he led the NFL in the interceptions. Fantasy owners loved it, but Drew Brees seemed to be trying too much to do too much at times, attempting to compensate for New Orleans' league-wide worst defense, which was led by Steve Spagnuolo, but Rob Ryan replaced him. Sean Payton is back, and top target Jimmy Graham, who led the league in 2012 in drops while playing through an ankle and wrist and finger injuries, will be healthy after off-season surgery. And also, number one wide receiver Marcus Colson enjoyed a second straight surgery-free spring after knee operations in each of the previous 4 years. A top two fantasy producer for past 5 years in a pass-friendly offense and laser-like accuracy to all the fields, all the areas of the field, quite naturally keeps him near the top of our quarterback rankings. Quite naturally, he's number two in my book, and a close number one behind the number one guy. I love this guy. You heard me spit multiple accolades to this guy, Drew Brees. I love this guy. Very consistent, and hell of a quarterback. Talk to me, man.
Hell of a quarterback, and yeah, he arguably could be number one now with Peyton there back up, you know, back there coaching him up. And I'm glad to see Peyton back. All that nonsense that rigmarole that the NFL bestowed on the entire world just to cover up a couple of things or whatever. But I really like Drew Brees. I have no problem with him at number two. Definitely an all-star player. Definitely a top caliber quarterback that you want to have as your number one. And he should be your first quarterback that you grab.
Okay. Excuse me. Projection woes and debilitating injuries to Greg Jennings and Jordy Nelson contributed to the season high and lows. While his cumulative fantasy scoring ranked second only to Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers was held to 1 or 0 touchdown passes in 5 of 15 fantasy relevant weeks. Backbreaking for owners who drafted him high at the top three, Rodgers hit 300 yards in just 6 of 18 games, including playoffs. Rodgers is the most talented pocket passer in football, but he isn't immune to supporting cast breakdowns. There is also a spontaneous element to Rodgers' game, which can be both good and bad. Greg Jennings left for the Vikings, but the Rodgers has picked up two dynamic running backs, in Eddie Lacy and Jonathan Franklin. Either one of these guys can be the number one. So my thing that they're going to run the ball, but they're going to be more efficient in the pass game. And I think he's neck and neck with Drew Brees at the top number one quarterback. But I like Aaron Rodgers, and you can probably flip these guys depending on your point of view or your opinion. But I like Aaron Rodgers as the number one quarterback in this list. Talk to me, man.
Definitely the consensus number one quarterback in the NFL today, fantasy and playing wise. I really like Aaron Rodgers.